Hello, folks. So I'm traversing through the deserts way, way down south. I'm still in California. I'm right past, well, I'm actually getting pretty close to the city of Yuma. And if you're not familiar with the city of Yuma, you probably heard the name anyway. You ever heard of the movie 310 to Yuma? There was like a western done a long time ago with the same name, and a remake of that with Russell Crowe, I think. So that's the spot I'm heading to, but I'm actually going to Tucson, Arizona, which is 3.5 hours away from where I'm at. And guess what? I just passed the Mexican border. I traveled like parallel to the Mexican border, very close. Like I could see the Mexican border as I turned my head to the right, and it's like a fence. And right in front of the fence, there are people in campers, like all over the place. And between there and to the interstate I-8 I'm driving on, there's this vast open space, and in that space, it's basically barren land, desert, and there are power lines and some aqueducts on some locations running kind of through there, and then the aqueduct crosses under the road, and then aqueducts on my left, it seems like. But there is also another barrier on my right, basically close to the road. So there's this barrier, and the actual border is way, way out there, but very close. It's not that far. So that's where I'm going, but I made that turn, and I'm actually farther from the border now. But for a while, I was like driving right next to the border, and in this section at least, it looks like there's a fence, and that fence, in front of the fence, there are people, like I said. And my impression is this is a very interesting land, and just in this section in California anyway, the temperature is already approaching 90 degrees Fahrenheit. And when I left home this morning, it was a very typical cool late winter, early spring day. And during the day, it wasn't getting nearly as hot as this. And I do live in a pretty warm, hot place. And this is a different animal, different kind of heat in this desert. And everything is so dry, it seems like all the moisture's just completely taken away by everything that is dry all around me. And pretty interesting place. I went past some really cool, interesting towns and places. I went past the Salton Sea. Of course, I went past the Coachella Valley. And now I'm approaching Arizona, obviously. And this is a vast open land, and it's just very beautiful and interesting. And for human beings to live here, you won't normally be able to live here as humans unless you find some deep aquifer water and support the civilization, or support like a little community or something. So for miles you don't see anything, but there's always people driving on the roads, obviously. And I was listening to some Led Zeppelin. I actually downloaded the entire Led Zeppelin collection, all their studio albums ever released. So I was listening to without shuffle, I was listening to the first Led Zeppelin album. I was just thinking about when that, how that first album was released, how it must have been really shocking and just explosive it was. And just to give you a backstory on how I got into Led Zeppelin, I grew up not really liking rock music or rock and roll related music. I wasn't a big fan. I was more into the music of my time, which was more like hip hop type stuff. And then I listened to a couple of Led Zeppelin songs. I don't know what the occasion was, and I was just struck by how hard the drumming was going on, and how powerful it was, and then all the instruments coming in, and the guitar, all those riffs, and harmonica was coming into play, and I was just struck. I was like, this Led Zeppelin thing, wow, crazy. Then I got more into it, and I saw cover bands and things like that, and got really into it. And this first album, when they first released it, it must have been explosive, like I said. It jumps right into Good Times, Bad Times, which is the first ever studio released song, probably, because it's the first song of the album. And it's a pretty explosive song, very uniquely created. It's kind of the quintessential song of Led Zeppelin, at least at that time. And then they go right into Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You, which is more of a folk song. And they electrified this folk song to a hard rock song. And they mixed it up with acoustic and hard rock instruments, and they drumming the hell out of it. And of course Robert Plant, the vocalist, has a really unique voice, and that fits perfectly with Jimmy Page's riffs and the tone of his guitar riffs. And behind everything else, I think the heart and soul of Led Zeppelin is the drumming of Bonham. And I think that drumming, how hard it is, kept everything together. And there was a story that when they tried to come back together as a group, they just couldn't, because that drumming part was missing. And that drumming part was so underappreciated. And only at that time, they themselves and people realized that death of Bonham and how that basically dissolved the band figuratively and literally, because those four unique individuals couldn't exist together without the drumming. But keep in mind that Jimmy Page is really the godfather of Led Zeppelin, the founding member and the producer, and the instrument, the lead instrument guy, who's the guitar, one of the greatest guitar players of all time. And even with the genius of Jimmy Page, Led Zeppelin couldn't happen without the drumming. And that's why I think maybe that first impression I got from the drumming I hear was so powerful. And also, when I first got into Led Zeppelin, I would just follow the drums. I would hear all the drums, the how hard he would hit, and then going into solos within the songs, like just pop, 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 like in really unique ways, and just hitting it so hard. And that's very apparent in that first album. Then from that second song, they go into You Shook Me. It's a blues song, and a blues song that is completely electrified to an insane level. And I think that is one song that is also a quintessential early Led Zeppelin song, You Shook Me. And the lyrics in that song is just like heavily R-rated and, you know, old school blues type song, but completely hard rock, rock and roll, Led Zeppelinized song. And the vocals in that song is insane. And Dazed and Confused is like Led Zeppelin hard rock, rock and roll song, but with a lot of psychedelics in it. You know, back then, right around this time, I think psychedelic rock was becoming kind of powerful. And this was kind of what Led Zeppelin was doing as far as flavoring their music with some psychedelic sound. And I think Dazed and Confused in itself is kind of a psychedelic, very hardcore, heavy-hitting psychedelic type song. Your Time Is Gonna Come is another song that follows right after. It's got elements of acoustics, just great vocals, and really interesting lyrics and everything else. Black Mountainside, more of an instrumental song that really highlights the skill and the beauty of the sound that Jimmy Page creates as an instrumentalist. And keep in mind, Jimmy Page was just a master with electric guitar and acoustic guitar and mandolins and string instruments. And he played the guitar with the bow also. If you like Led Zeppelin, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Then Communication Breakdown, a very famous Led Zeppelin song, comes in right after that song. And that's kind of a wild, insane, losing control type vibe that you experience from that song. And you're like, whoa, what the hell's going on? And another Led Zeppelin unique feature is that the tempos change within the song several times. And some of the most famous Led Zeppelin songs are very famous and notable for that effect. But even early on with this first album, you kind of see that the tempo changes sometimes in unpredictable ways, but everything just fitting together within the song, even with the tempo changes, the whole end result being really good. That whole effect, you see that in this Communication Breakdown song and throughout the album also. I Can't Quit You Baby, that's another blues song, hardcore electrified. And again, you know, blues type lyrics with Led Zeppelin twist, ad-libbing, and heavily electrifying blues music. But people have to understand, blues is a great American music that was heavily underappreciated, and electrifying of blues basically became rock and roll. And rock and roll getting then developed and branching into a British form and then an American form, then merging together into that rock music that we all know, and the classic rock of the 60s, 70s, and even the 80s. That's what became of it. But blues is the godfather of all rock and roll and rock music. And again, I've never been a rock and roll guy, but now I kind of am. And that's largely due to the greatness of Led Zeppelin. And the album, the first album, Led Zeppelin album, ends with the song How Many More Times. And that is the ninth song on the album. By the way, Led Zeppelin, the first four albums didn't really have any title names, so it was just referred to as default as Led Zeppelin 1, Led Zeppelin 2, Led Zeppelin 3, Led Zeppelin 4. But I believe this first album was just straight up called Led Zeppelin, and it was kind of an intro album to whatever they were doing, and they spread like wildfire, and they never produced any music videos and never did any heavy promotional stuff. Just the power of the music captivated everybody, and they toured, and when they toured they produced different kinds of sounds, and music from their tours is completely different, right? Because what they did in the studio with Jimmy Page producing everything was completely different. That was produced music by Jimmy Page. Really innovative recording techniques. They were sometimes recording echoes to from their instruments to capture different kinds of sounds, etc. All kinds of unique ways of recording, placement of microphones and what amplifiers to use, and all kinds of unique stuff. And he was himself the engineer of the recording, and he was a genius. He was not only an instrumentalist, he was a true producer and a true recording artist, and one of the greatest guitar players of all time himself, of course. And Led Zeppelin, this first album, was a precedence to everything that was to come. And I'm only touching like the tip of the surface, obviously. So that's my take on this first Led Zeppelin album, kind of giving you a flavor of Led Zeppelin. And what else did I want to say about Led Zeppelin? Yeah, that whole recording thing, just to finish my thought there, it was a different kind of sound, and that's why the recorded Led Zeppelin music sounds different than the live performance. Not only because of the live performance effect, but also it was more complex. Different types of instruments were recorded. There were only four Led Zeppelin members, and the records would have, you know, eight different instruments at times, etc. So on stage you won't be able to do that with four people. That's why the live performance sounded way different, and sounded more basic instrumentally, but with a lot of ad-libbing and freestyling as far as the performance with the instruments and with the vocals. But the recorded Led Zeppelin music is a treasure, and the most amazing thing, and one of the great, one of the best cover bands of Led Zeppelin, GTLO, Get the Led Out. Saw them perform live a few times, and what they have is they have like 6-7 people basically jamming out the recorded versions of Led Zeppelin music. Obviously they can't do it with four people, like discussed. So they're doing the jamming it out with like two guitarists playing riffs, for example, with the vocalist, the drummer, and another keyboard guy, and a bass player, for example. And they vary the personnel depending on the song. And also it's noteworthy to mention that a lot of the great Led Zeppelin songs had like harmonica, and those songs are great. And I think early Led Zeppelin music, especially when they bring out the harmonica, you kind of just feel this different sound. So anyway, I'm gonna end this episode right now. I'm entering Arizona, and I'll be back. Peace.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.